News talks to me, it's 15 after 11. Now, I'm sure that my comments yesterday with regard to China, tariffs, and Trump and Xi probably didn't even reach Stephen Jacoby, who is the executive director of the New Zealand China Council. I'm presuming that. But there was an article that was published in the New Zealand Herald earlier in the year, back in February, I believe. Criticism of China connection is more insinuation than fact, in which Mr. Jacoby wrote, there's an anti-China narrative starting to emerge in New Zealand. It reflects debate in Australia to the extent of Chinese influence, particularly on politicians, and follows moves by the Turnbull government to crack down on activities of local Chinese operations. But in New Zealand, it's a debate thick with insinuation and scant on evidence. Yesterday, there was in the Sydney Morning Herald the story that I was utilising and quoting from with regard to the following. From Vanuatu to Papua New Guinea, from Sri Lanka to Pakistan, from the Maldives to the tiny Republic of Djibouti on the Horn of Africa, Chinese assistance follows roughly the same pattern. Comes in the form of loans, not much cheaper than and sometimes more expensive than loans that could have been obtained from organisations set up for the purpose, such as the World Bank. But their advantage is that they are approved quickly and are often purposes more attractive to elites than the countries themselves, and goes on with much detail. All of this conversation has, as you would imagine, considering that he is on the New Zealand China Trade Council, has got Mr. Jacoby a little exercised, and I suppose I can understand it. Stephen Jacoby, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Anything you want to comment on what I've said so far?
Actually, I had heard you talking about the relationship yesterday, but you know what, Leighton? I think it's good if people are talking about the relationship with China. I just want it to be a bit more fact-based, but no, it's good to be having these sorts of conversations. They're a major partner. They're a growing power around the world. Their influence is being felt. These are things we should be talking about.
Okay. So the drive behind my comments yesterday was more to do with the tariffs between America and China, which have been out of balance, and I'm sure you'd agree with that because you can't disagree. And secondly, or even more importantly yesterday, was the concern that's been expressed by particularly Trump going back to last year, and the report from the appropriate council on intellectual property commission, rather, report with regard to the activities of the Chinese government in particular on and involving the stealing of intellectual property.
Yeah, there are quite a few.
Let me just add to that, conclude it. And that I was suggesting was what was driving dealing with that aspect of it, because the figure is somewhere around $600 billion a year it's costing America, what is driving the tariff introduction or the tariff debate that Trump has now launched.
Yes. So just as I say, a few things there. Firstly, I don't think it is quite true to say that there's sort of uneven tariffs between China and the United States, or rather, yes, there are uneven tariffs, but these are the result of negotiations that have taken place over periods of time, particularly when China joined the WTO, at which a lot of these tariffs were set. If America wanted to move to a set of more evenly applied tariffs or lower tariffs, it would need to enter into a free trade negotiation with China, and then it would be able to get to zero, which would be the best outcome for all concerned, I would suggest.
Well, what
but
I was...
You are
what
right. What you was, are right. Let me, Karen. You are right if by saying that actually some of the tariffs that Trump is now trying to apply to China are the result of concerns about intellectual property. And I think actually there is more than just the United States that's concerned about China's policies on intellectual property, notwithstanding the fact that the Premier earlier this year and the President just yesterday, you know, announced moves to actually deal with some of these issues. But I think there are concerns about intellectual property protection in China. The question is, what's the best way to encourage China to deal with this issue? Is it by putting tariffs on a whole range of products and complicating international trade and risking the World Trade Organization and the order that we have around international trade? Or are there other ways that this can be done? Now, the president will say they've tried for years to do this and haven't had much success. Maybe they haven't tried hard enough. I think from a New Zealand perspective, we'd prefer these things to be worked out through things like the WTO rather than by the imposition of additional tariffs.
By the same token, we don't all operate the same way. And if the Chinese, for instance, are costing America the estimated $600 billion a year, by the way, that article I was quoting from yesterday included American allies, which I presumed would include us to whatever degree. And while America was the main concern for Americans, they were also including us in their approach.
I don't know if they were including New Zealand or not. We don't seem to be an ally of theirs when it comes to the imposition of steel and aluminium tariffs, do we? Because they're actually imposing those tariffs against New Zealand at the moment, as if New Zealand's modest exports of steel and aluminium are going to bring around the whole US, you know, artifice and industrial military complex. But in any event, the best way to deal with these sorts of issues is through the WTO. If there was an issue that they wished to raise, they could have all sorts of opportunities to take that up. And indeed, if New Zealand's got issues with China, we should be taking them up as well. The question is, how do you deal with these problems? Not all countries are in the same position when it comes to domestic policies. It wasn't that long ago, for example, you recall in TPP that New Zealand was trying to get New Zealand to increase its intellectual property protections by things like expanding the patent term and medicines and that sort of thing. So, I mean, this is part of an ongoing exercise, I think.
All right, so the announcement by Xi, Premier Xi, with regard to the openness of things, has come because of the pressure that Trump's applied, or because they're just nice people?
I think it's more to do with the fact that they're undergoing enormous, reform of their domestic policy settings to try and, you know, further enhance their own economy. They have known for years they need to do something to reform China's economy, and they need to move away from investment-driven models more to consumption-driven models. They know that some of the debt that they're accumulating is unsustainable. They know they need to integrate more better into international markets. They know all these things. And indeed, Western countries, the United States and New Zealand and others, have been telling them to do this for years. But the thing with China is that they look upon the impact of some of the policies that have been imposed or followed by Western countries, and they see the impacts in terms of the global financial crisis and some of the instabilities that are in various countries, and they're basically saying to themselves, we need to reform, but we're not going to do it exactly that way. We don't want to see that here. We're going to take our own path. So they've been working this through. I don't know that in all of these areas the progress is quick enough and could be strengthened. They've got a very complex task in such a big and populous country.
All right,
in some way, we have to work out as a global community how we can accommodate this.
Before I run out of time, let me quote you quick as I can from the Financial Times yesterday. President Trump's vision is that of a global trading system free of the imbalances and unfair practices that now hold growth back, not just in the US, but around the world. When China joined the World Trade Organization in 2001, it promised to abide by the rules of the international trading order. Instead, it's broken every rule in the Fair Trade Book on the way to expanding its annual gross domestic product from 1.3 to 11.2 trillion. Meanwhile, since 2001, under the Bush and Obama presidencies, the US economy lost more than 60,000 factories and millions of manufacturing jobs. Only now is the American economy beginning to renew its strength on the wings of President Donald Trump's four-point growth plan. And I won't go any further because time prevents. Quick comment.
I think that's absolutely ridiculous. China has, in fact, had a patchy record with regard to the WTO. It has implemented more WTO findings than actually the United States has. The United States has refused to implement a number of WTO panels that have found against them. I think it's just not that picture that is being prepared. But if there are issues, then they need to be worked out in the WTO.
Would it be fair to say that you carry some bias because of your involvement with the New Zealand China Council?
Well, I carry equal bias in favour of the United States because I spent 10 years as executive director of the NZUS, you may remember.
Yes, but you've changed camps now.
Well, look, I think it's all about New Zealand's interests and where New Zealand's interests lie. They lie both with the United States and with China. We don't want to choose between the two. We want a robust relationship with both. But the path that the United States is on at the moment in international trade policy is potentially disastrous, both for them and for the world. And I think we have to call that out.
Okay. Appreciate your time.
Great.
Stephen Jacoby, principal of Jacoby Consulting and the...